Lord, we thank you because you are preparing a sanctuary. You said unto Moses, say, speak unto the children of Israel and tell them to build me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. Father, we thank you for the desire in your heart to dwell with man. Lord, Solomon asked, he said, will God indeed dwell with man? And John said, I had a voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling of God is with men.
Oh, yeah.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes. Yes.
We ask, Lord, tonight that there might be a preparation of a dwelling place.
Yes.
He said, you will walk in your people. You will talk in your people. You will dwell in our midst. Your presence will not abhor us. But Lord, you will dwell. You will be comfortable in the midst of your people. Father, we ask tonight that by the ministry of your word, by the ministry of your spirit, an atmosphere will be created that will be conducive for you to dwell. Lord, you will find an abiding place in the midst of Zion. For you said, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Lord, let the desire of your heart come to pass. Let your will be done. Lord, we thank you tonight. Lord, that our gathering here tonight will create an atmosphere conducive for you to dwell. We bless you tonight. We ask, Lord God, that in this meeting tonight, you will tabernacle with us.
Yeah.
That the presence of the Lord, the glory of God, will be made visible,
yeah,
will be made manifest.
Oh, yeah.
That Lord, men, the nations will see the glory dwelling in Zion. Blessed be your name tonight. Open our hearts tonight, Lord. Open our hearts tonight that you might come in.
Yes.
We ask you tonight, Lord, to have your way.
Yes.
Move in the midst of your people. Father, freely move tonight. Jehovah, freely move tonight.
Yes.
Lord, into every dwelling, move tonight. Fill every tabernacle with your presence tonight. Lord, let every person here experience your glory, your presence, your power.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brethren, I want to thank God for the privilege to be your meat tonight. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to tabernacle with the people of God. Amen. Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
This is my first time here. Praise the name of the Lord. But we have been in fellowship. Amen. There is one body. There is one spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. There is only one Mount Zion. Hallelujah. The Lord put a burden in my heart when I was praying for this meeting. And I would also like you to know that the brethren in Nigeria, particularly the brethren in Owerri, where I come from, have also been praying about these meetings. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Lord put a burden in my heart. And I've been here, well, since the meeting in Dubuque, I've been listening, and it's been very encouraging to hear the voice of the Lord in the midst of his people. Amen. Hallelujah. To hear that which the Spirit is saying to the church is one. Praise the name of the Lord. We are living in a very peculiar time. But in a very, very peculiar time. And one of the strong burdens in the heart of the Lord is for the people of God to accurately discern the times and the seasons that we are living in.
Oh, yeah.
So that we may know what manner of men we ought to be. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said, don't be thoughtless, but you must discern the time and know what, how to live. Do not live thoughtless and purposeless lives. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, because time passes, we can never recover it. And I want you to know that time is a very precious commodity. You are given a limited amount of time to be able to accomplish a specified objective. Now, if within the time that is allotted to you, you are not able to accomplish that objective, you are a wasted investment. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm praying God tonight. I have so much to say. My time is limited. So I'm going to do a lot of talking and a lot less of reading. But I'm going to expect that you are familiar with the Word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to believe that. So that as I'm talking, I trust God that you'll be following. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the things that God's people need to do at this time is to know the Word of God. Hallelujah. We know too many things. Hallelujah. We know too many things about the world and very little about God. But then all that is going to change. If we are going to be able to overcome in this time. I tell you something. One thing the Lord told me, he said that the people of God are not aware of the magnitude of what is coming. One of the things I'm going to be talking about, the prince of this world is coming. The thief is coming. He's coming to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I want you to know that. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not going to be prepared for the magnitude of killing and stealing and destruction that is about to take place. Many houses will be broken up because the houses have not been built solidly to withstand the tension, the pressure, the stress of what is coming upon the earth. And brethren, we still have a little opportunity. God just bought us a little time. When Brother Lucille spoke about 2008, you know, a lot of people had different thoughts and opinions. But the Lord told me, I just bought you a little time.
Amen.
And brethren, you better believe it. I don't know how much time we still have left, but you need to take stock. Whatever you are engaging right now, you need to be very, very sure that this is what the Lord will have you to be doing at this time. You can't afford to do otherwise. Right. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to read from Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read one verse there and then we'll start talking. Praise the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 22. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 22. We know the story. I'm just going to read one verse there. And please, brethren, I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 53. It says, when I was with you day after day in the temple enclosure, you did not stretch forth your hands against me. For this is your hour. The power which darkness gives you has its way. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I would like a little response. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll be speaking to you tonight briefly about the hour of darkness. Praise the name of the Lord. The hour of darkness. And believe me, brethren, we are already in the hour of darkness. You know, so much has been said about darkness. I've been listening to Brother Bot, you know, and he has brought such dimensions of understanding about this spiritual reality called darkness. And I pray with all my heart that God will begin to open up our hearts to begin to have an understanding about this. It will affect everything about our lives. And brethren, we need to be affected. Hallelujah. The people of God are engaged in things. The world has so much access into God's people. And the word of the Lord has very little access into God's people. Yeah. And you see, brethren, we are in a difficult time. You know, recently God began to speak to us about the parable of the sower, but with particular emphasis on the thorns and the thistles. That seed that was sown among the thorns. And it's speaking about the people who have progressed. They have moved beyond the point of hearing the word, understanding it. They have even passed through the point of tribulation. They've passed through things and they've been able to overcome. But then they now come to a very deadly part of the journey. Praise the name of the Lord. He said that these ones came to this point. And he said they received the word, they believed the word, they came to this point. But that he said that the cares of this life and the lusts of other things entering in. Now, if you read from Amplified, he's speaking about, he said, the desire for the good things of life, the love for pleasures. Praise the name of the Lord. And God said that the people of God are a people who love pleasures more than God. But you see, what these things do is that they get into your heart, your soul, and they begin to, you know what it means to choke, to squeeze, to strangle the word. The word we have received, brethren, is spirit. Is actually a form of energy to live the life of the spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. But this thing gets in there and chokes. You know what it means to choke? Squeeze the breath, the vitality out of it. So you are left with mere letter. And the people of God come to church, hear this word, go home, open up the television, open up, you know, things. And these things keep going and choke the word. So it looks as if the word of God has no effect. It has effect. But the two things can't dwell together. Praise the name of the Lord. So it chokes the word, strangles it, squeezes out the breath, the vitality, the functioning energy. You are left with letter that can give no life. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, brethren, we need to begin to take time to take stock. You know, in August, we were, you know, at the camp meeting in Owerri. And the Lord gave me a word about the dung gate from Nehemiah chapter 3. I'd like to mention some of these things just in brief, in passing. The dung gate. It was one of those gates. I think old Jerusalem had about 11 gates. Now, one of these gates was the dung gate. You know, and you see, when Nehemiah had the burden for the repairing of this, the gates of Jerusalem, because he came, he saw that the gates were, you know, broken down, the walls were broken down, foxes, all kinds of things were walking in and out of the place. There was a particular family, it was the sons of Rechab, that repaired the dung gate. You see, but this dung gate was one of the gates in the city. Now, when, you know, God gave Moses certain instructions, when you kill a sacrifice, there were certain parts of this sacrifice that were not, God could not receive. So the entrails, the feces, and all the bad stuff, they were taken out through the dung gate into the valley of Kidron, and they were dumped there. So the dung gate was that gate, that opening through which trash was taken out. Praise the name of the Lord. Through which trash was, when there is cleansing of the temple, all the filth, the rubbish is taken out through the dung gate and dumped in the brook of Kidron. But you see, the funny part is that it's the same gate through which trash can also do what now? Come into the city. Praise the name of the Lord. If the enemy wants to bring trash into the city, he brings it through the dung gate. So this gate was broken down, and brethren, all kinds of filth and trash were coming into the city. Now it took this group, the sons of Rechab. Now if you know who Rechab was, Rechab was a man in the book of Jeremiah, hallelujah, that had received an instructions not to drink wine, which has to do with the influence of this world. The world has a lot of influence upon the people of God. Brethren, pay so much attention. You know, people come to church and the word of God starts going on and people go to sleep. But when they are watching football, soccer, or baseball, basketball, whatever it is, they are as alive as anything. That tells you where you are functioning. The soul of man operates between the heavens and the earth. It has a capacity. So wherever you are, you respond. You are responsive to the frequency of that realm. Praise the name of the Lord. If the soul moves into the heavens, its appetite definitely automatically changes. So this dung gate needed to be restored, rebuilt, and boats and bars set back. Praise the name of the Lord. So that the uncircumcised and the unclean will not be able to come into the city anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But back to the story, brethren. Now this night was a very peculiar night in the life of Jesus Christ. And brethren, it also has very significant, you know, very strong prophetic significance for us at this time. It was a night that Jesus would be betrayed. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and he began to prepare for that night. You know the story very well. It was the night of Passover. Now, it was a very significant night, if you understand that. It was a night that certain things were going to change irrevocably for a lot of people around him. He began to make preparation for that Passover. And brethren, that Passover is significant because it is the last ceremonial Passover. You understand what I mean? The last ceremonial Passover. For us, it actually means the end of religion. The end of church as we know it. He said, after this meal, the next Passover I will eat with you will not be like this. Amen. It will not be a formal, it will not be a ceremonial thing. It will be in my Father's kingdom. Praise the name of the Lord. And he began to prepare for that meal. Now, while he was preparing for this meal, certain things were happening among his disciples. Now, Judas had a problem. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I was doing some little study recently. You notice something? That Jesus rebuked Judas. You remember the story, the woman who came with the oil. Do you understand that? You know, it was very costly oil. She had a devotion to the Lord that was, the natural man could not understand it. So when she came and was pouring out that expensive oil, Judas rebuked her. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, this is a waste. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, leave her alone. Hallelujah. Now, if you take time to look through your Bible, from that point, Judas' attitude changed. He made up his mind to betray Jesus. But he wasn't the only person who was rebuked. Peter was also rebuked. Praise the name of the Lord. And Peter's rebuke was actually much more harsh. Do you understand? The rebuke Judas got was very mild. Very mild. Peter got a harsher rebuke. Get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have any appetite for the things of God. And brethren, that's a serious rebuke, and it's also coming to us at this time too. We need to change our appetite. He said, thou savourest not the things of God. But you see, there was a difference between these two men. Praise the name of the Lord. The rebuke of Peter helped him.
Yes.
But the rebuke of Judas destroyed him. Where would you find yourself at this time? The word of God is coming. Now, Jesus said something very clearly to the disciples. He said, this night, all of you will be offended. Brethren, I want to tell you, this night season is a night of offense. And you better watch out so that you will not be offended. There is an atmosphere, there is a spirit of darkness that is at work. It is the hour, it is the time. Let me tell you, brethren, the powers of darkness will be given the opportunity, as we are going to see, to enter the church. Believe me, brethren, and you're going to notice strange behavior among God's people. They will be allowed to sift the church. You know, Jesus told Judas, Peter, he says, Satan had requested, you know, if you read it from the Amplified, it's a very strong word. Satan has repeatedly, unceasingly requested, I want Peter. I want to test him. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He made a request for Peter. Why? Now, let me go back a little. Hallelujah. Maybe to set up a picture that would, you know, give us an understanding of some of these things. You know, I was telling the brethren in Dubuque, some years ago, the Lord began to kind of open up the scriptures pertaining to the rebellion of Hillel using the story of Absalom. Praise the name of the Lord. Using the story of Absalom. Now, that understanding changed a lot of things for me. It brought me to a point in my life where I had to make up my mind. I said, God, if I were to die tonight, I want to die without any regret. I had to make up my mind. I said, Lord, I want to die without any regret. That means, Lord, I could have done this. I don't want to say that. A lot of Christians are living as if we have all the time. God has not promised you. All I have is today. Is that what the Bible says? Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. So I said, God, I do not want to have any regret. I want to give my all now. Just like the woman, that woman who anointed Jesus was the only woman who had the opportunity to anoint her. She did it because she anointed her beforehand. The others who went, he did not need the anointing then. Hallelujah. She did it ahead of time. Yes. Whatever you need to do, it is now. Any offering you need to make, it is now. Any repentance you need to make, it is now. Hallelujah. So that you will not have any cause for regret. Yes. I had to look at the life of Jesus. He said, look, Father, the work you have called me to do, I have finished it. Then that is supposed to be our testimony. Every one of us. It's not only Jesus. Paul had the same testimony. He said, I have fought the fight. I have run the race. I have finished my course. I need to know that I have done the same thing with my own life too. Praise the name of the Lord. Enough of this trash. Brethren, enough of the kind of life people that who was, I think it was Barabbas who was saying that, Christian, we are giving God the leftover of our time.
Yes.
Well, I want you to know that that has changed. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me just touch that matter a little briefly, because it's important that we understand that Hillel was a type of Absalom. Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. A type of Absalom. You know, the Bible says that concerning Absalom, that he was perfect in his beauty. There was no blemish in him. He was the son of David. Praise the name of the Lord. And he had problems. It's a story that could take us quite some time to deal with. But the point was that at a point in time, Absalom began to conceive certain things in his heart. He wanted that same glory. He wanted the throne of David. And the Bible said he went and made a throne and set it at the gate, the entry point of the palace of David, and he began to undermine David. Now, when people will come to see David for judgment, for justice, to address their problems, to avenge them of the adversary, Absalom would draw that one aside and kiss him. Praise the name of the Lord. And would tell him, oh, the king is too busy. The king is too weak. The king has no time for you. Oh, that I were made a deputy in the land. Praise the name of the Lord. Then any man who had an issue will come to me, and I will give him justice. And the Bible says, in doing this, Absalom, what now? Stole the heart. Now, this would happen in the heavens. And Hillel will go from place to place whispering. Now, this is the hour of Diabolos. Hallelujah. This is the hour of Diabolos. And he was going about whispering and undermining God, making God act as if God was not capable of running his place.
Yes.
Don't you think that we'll be better off if we are free? Every man, you know, do what you like. Said, I find this thing too authoritarian. Do you understand that? You know, God is just being too authoritarian. Why can't we be free? And he went from angel to angel, angel to angel, and the Lord knew about it. If you read Psalm 2, you will find out. He said, why do the hidden, you know, why do the hidden people rage, hidden rage, and the people imagine a vain thing in their hearts? The kings of the earth and their rulers set themselves up against the Lord and against his anointed. But he that sits in the heavens will laugh. But the Lord had to wait for every angel. Hallelujah. I'm sure Michael would have come to him and said, Lord, see what's going on. Gabriel would say, Lord. And he said, hold your peace. I know. But each angel had to hear this rumor and take a position. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to know that all of you will have to take a position one way or the other. Every one of us will be tested so that our position will be determined. And brethren, when they all took their position, the Lord came into the picture. And he pronounced his judgment. Oh, Hillel raised objections. Praise the name of the Lord. He raised issues, various points to defend himself. One of the points he raised was, look, these people would be better off if every man were to be free. The same spirit we see in the world today. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, that is, you are God's. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be better off? Wouldn't they be better off? And so God had to put that issue, among many other issues, to the test. Now, how did God do that? That's how man came into the picture. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know that you are in the picture here today, not for yourself. Praise the name of the Lord. You were born, you were created not to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. That's not why you are here. We believe that we are here. In fact, Christianity has come to a point, people just feel that God is there to help me fulfill my career. You understand? You know, the Spirit of God just helps you to make it, become a better lawyer, a better doctor, a better engineer, a better farmer, and all such things. So God simply fits into your program. It's not like that. You are the one to fit into God's program. Your being here is basically to vindicate God. God has a point to prove. Now, all the issues, every point raised up by Hillel, you are going to disprove it.
Yes,
Paul said that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through our God to the pulling down of strong. He said, we demolish arguments and theories and philosophies. Praise the name of the Lord. Everything that is raised up against and above the knowledge of God. My life is to disprove it. Would man be better off on his own? Taking his own decisions. Running his own life. Well, I think the answer is obvious. You only need to look at humanity today. Do you understand the point? To see the answer to that. But that's not the point. What will be the end of a people who actually take their will and say, not my will, hallelujah, but yours. Amen. And give it over to God. Say, you run my life for me. How is my life going to end up? That is a matter on the table. Now, because of this, there were other issues in the game. God says, each person will be free to make a choice. Hallelujah. Whatever choice you make will be recognized by both parties. Amen. And brethren, also, each of the parties is also allowed to influence you to change your mind. I don't know if you're following me.
Yes.
There is liberty to change your mind. Mm. And you can change your mind at the last hour. Hello?
Yes.
And believe me, brethren, at this hour, the kingdom of darkness is working hard. Many are going to change their position. He said that the love of many shall wax cold. Why? Because of the working of this influence of darkness at this time.
Yes.
Many are going to make last minute decisions that will affect them permanently. But you see, these decisions are going to be made and remade and ratified and continued until a point. The Bible calls the end of all things, when a final position will be taken. That's what sealing is all about. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you're here to vindicate God. God said that through principalities and powers, He will make His wisdom, His manifold wisdom, shall be made manifest to principalities and powers. Now, I'm just summarizing that. But I want you to know that your life is not your own. You better know that. God gave you a body. There's a divine purpose for it. He says it's not for fornication. It is for who? For the Lord to demonstrate, reveal, manifest Himself, and declare His position. Somebody said here today, you have no right to be offended. Did you hear that? It is illegal for a Christian to be offended. Do you believe that? The reason is because your life is designed for a particular purpose. And it is not for your purpose. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus knew that His life was to be a sacrifice. Do you understand that? So when He was living His life, He had a focus that the goal of my life is to at the end of the day to present this without spot. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, that must be your focus. Now, because of this, if somebody comes and says, oh, you're a fool, He said, I know it. Hold your peace. You do not have time to begin to engage to try to vindicate yourself. You have nothing to vindicate. Hallelujah. Your purpose. That's why Matthias, God raised some. They only lived 30 years. God sent him into one jungle. Do you understand? What was there? They were there. I said, no, you must deny Christ. He said, no. And they killed the person. So it's not a question of whether you live long or you live short. You know, God does not look at it in terms of that. You notice that it is always a position of what position would you take? Now, every time you take a position in accordance with God's position, you are vindicating God.
Amen.
Whether in your life or by your death,
yes,
God is glorified.
Amen.
That is what it means, brethren.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And so we need to begin to realize this, that your life is merely for the glorification and the vindication of God's position.
Amen.
Now, that is what overcoming is all about. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, when you understand that, that's what consecration is. A person now takes his life and sets it for the sole purpose that Paul said, whether by my life or by my death, Christ is what? Glorified. So Jesus had that focus. When He was standing before Pilate, you know, He on the 10th day of the first month, Jesus came into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He knew what He was doing. He rode into Jerusalem as the Lamb. He presented Himself. They took Him to Annas, took Him to Caiaphas. They were examining Him as the law required. Praise the name of the Lord. They took Him to Pilate. They took Him to Herod. All examined Him and they said, I find no fault in this man. They declared Him fit to be a sacrifice. When He offered Himself, He took His blood. You know, when He came out, Mary Magdalene went, she said, no, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Then the next time He came, He was hugging them. What had happened? He had gone up, presented the blood. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you something. When that blood is to be inspected, everybody will be there. The devil will be there. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let me illustrate that. There was a man named Laban. Laban was the father-in-law of Jacob. Amen. Now, Jacob lived with Laban. He ran out of his father's house. He dwelt in a strange land. He prospered. But all the life that Jacob lived, he was living by manipulation. Do you understand that? It was a life he was using his brain, his ability to further himself in life. But a time came in his life when the Lord said, return to your father's house. And I tell you, brethren, it was simply saying, you must go back to the life of the spirit and not the life of the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
And it was time to leave the house of Laban. Easier said than done. So Jacob had to find a way to flee. Now, there was a problem. The problem was Rachel. Now, you see, Jacob and Rachel had lived in the same house. Rachel had heard about the God of Jacob, but she had not developed a personal relationship with God. She had not yet seen the God of Jacob. Now, this were in the same house. You see, brother, we're in the same fellowship, we're in the same arrangement, the same, you know, assembly, but different persuasions, different convictions. So when Jacob was returning, Rachel was walking on the strength of the word that Jacob had brought. She did not have any personal conviction. She did not have any personal revelation. So when she left, she took some of her father's idols. It was for protection. It was for protection. She needed something she could rely on. She could not rely on the God of Jacob. Now, brethren, we are returning to the Father's house. It is time to return. You know, that night of the Passover, Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and to return to the Father. Brethren, I want to tell you, the time has come for you to get out of this world. And to return to the Father. Jesus knew. Do you know the time? Brethren, this is the time. The voice is saying, get out. Why must we get out? Because this earth, there's a frequency called the earth. It is given over to the dragon. The dragon is given power and authority over all who dwell upon the earth. There is a frequency that is called the realm of the earth. And as long as we dwell there, the dragon has power to afflict, to smite, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We need to get out. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to get out. You know, John said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. What are these idols? It's the cares of this life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. As long as these things have dominion over us, we are within the reach of the dragon. Now, I'm saying this, there's so much to say. Now, the truth of the matter, I'll give an illustration. The first Passover that God instituted, that night in Egypt. Before then, there had been plagues. The first plague affected everybody, both Israelites and Egyptians. The second plague affected Israelites and Egyptians. The third plague affected Israelites and Egyptians. But by the fourth plague, God said, now I will make what now? A distinction. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, why was that? It meant that somewhere along the line, the people of God had to move. Praise the name of God. He said, come out of her, my people, so that you will not be partaker of her plagues. As long as you are in her, you will be partaker of her plagues. Now, it is not enough for us to sit here and hear, you know, the teaching of the tabernacle until you decide and realize it is time to leave this world. Hallelujah. And return to the Father. Then you are still within reach of the plagues. Brethren, are we together? And there are plagues coming. All kinds of plagues. If you read from Amplified, I encourage you to read Amplified. There are things coming upon the earth. There are diseases coming. Terrible, contagious. There's going to be a worldwide epidemic. And people are going to die by the millions.
Yes.
Praise the name of the Lord. And brethren, we need to be in a position where these things cannot touch us. So we need to get out and leave the idols behind. Rachel took these idols, and because of that, Laban came after him. Hallelujah. And brethren, the prince of this world is coming. Jesus said so. That same night, he was speaking to his disciples. He told them that the prince of this world is coming. Brethren, there is something coming. The thief is coming. The prince, in Daniel chapter 9, he said that the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. There is something coming, and brethren, we need to be aware of it. And it is coming because this is night. Praise the name of the Lord. The prince of this world, Laban went after Jacob. But something happened that night, God did something. God came at Laban and said, be careful how you address Jacob. So by the time Laban met Jacob, he was feeling a little more polite. Hallelujah. Because the Lord God had given him a serious warning. Brethren, there is a God in heaven. And he wants to put us in a position where he can intervene for us. So, but he said, fine, you have a right to go. But why did you take my idols? You have my property. And Jacob said, fine, this is the deal. My house is open to you. Search my house. Hallelujah. Brethren, I want you to know that it is part of the deal that the enemy will want to sift you like wheat. All of us are going to be sifted. Every room in your house will be searched. And that's why I need to get rid of the idols now. Because the prince is coming. Every room will be searched by divine arrangement. He said, my house is open. You search. And then when they finished searching, he said, call your kinsmen. Laban, let me call my kinsmen. Whatever you have found in the house, present them here. Let us see. Praise the name of the Lord. There are serious issues in the heavens. Why I need to get rid of anger in my life. Why I need to get rid of pride. You don't have an option about it. And you're going to see why. The prince of this world is coming. But then Judas was coming. Praise the name of the Lord. Judas is a type of a man named Ahithophel. Praise the name of the Lord. A man named Ahithophel. Who was Ahithophel? Ahithophel was David's counselor, David's advisor. He worked closely with David, just like Judas did. Praise the name of the Lord. There were two men who were David's close confidants. One was Ahithophel. The other one was Hushai. Now, you see, the Bible said that Ahithophel was David's counselor. Hushai was David's friend. And David's companion. You know what that meant? It meant that when Ahithophel would finish his official business, he would pack his bags, he would go home. Hushai stayed with David in the palace. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, one was a professional minister. He was a professional preacher. You understand? He was very official in his ministry. The other was very intimate and very personal. Praise the name of the Lord. Guess who was able to overcome the prince of this world? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Ahithophel changed camp. When the rebellion of Absalom got up. Now, Ahithophel changed camp because he was also offended. If you read your Bible very well, you know, I was reading a book and the author mentioned something very interesting. You know, Bathsheba was Ahithophel's his granddaughter or his niece. Either his granddaughter or his niece. Praise the name of the Lord. If you read your Bible, go check it out. Bathsheba was Ahithophel's, either his granddaughter or his niece. And the writer speculated that the incident between David and Bathsheba must have upset Ahithophel. You know, like Judas. He said Judas was now looking for an opportunity to betray him. Praise the name of the Lord. Every situation, he would look for a way to exploit it, to deal with this man. So when Absalom rose up in rebellion, and Absalom prepared his rebellion very well, he stole the hearts of the men opted to go with Absalom. And you know what David did? David just packed his bags, called the men who were with him in Jerusalem, and said, let's what now? Let's get out. And brethren, we are getting out. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, when an environment, Absalom represents the choice of man. When men decide to have men or the flesh rule over them, they make a choice. And the king simply called those who were willing and they moved on. Believe me, brethren, whether you like it or not, there are going to be separations at this time. Praise the name of the Lord. There are going to be separations between Ahithophel, between Absalom and David. David represents the principle of heavenly government in the midst of God's people. Now, some people choose to be led by the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit, to do the things of the Spirit, to have the will of the Spirit. That's what David represents. David was the only man in the whole of the Scriptures who didn't want authority. Praise the name of the Lord. He wasn't going to scheme for it. He wasn't going to manipulate for it. Do you understand me, brethren? He was not going to do anything to get that crown on his head. If God says, I will do this, then let God do it.
Yes.
I'm not going to spear Paul. I'm not going to, you know, run anybody down. I'm not going to do anything human to get this thing on me.
Yes.
Brethren, do you understand what that meant? God saw a man who was not going to grasp for power like Hillel. It had always been God's plan to give dominion to man. But he wanted a man, a particular kind of man. Today, part of the problem in the church is scheming and friction for power and authority. If you even at that, during the Last Supper, the disciples were still arguing who among us is the greatest.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? It was an issue up to the very last moment. And here was a man, David, who would not. The first time God anointed him, that anointing got him into trouble.
Praise God.
And David was running from pillar to post. He became a byword. In those days, if a mother wants to, you know, make the son to sit up, he said, if you're not careful, you end up like David. Do you understand? He was an object of ridicule. And he bore it patiently.
Amen.
He didn't have the opportunity to explain anything. What could he explain? Praise the name of the Lord. What could he explain?
Amen.
But step by step, God saw a man who would not do anything. You know, when David met Saul in the cave, I mean, logically, nobody in Israel would have complained if he had killed Saul there. Everybody would have understood. Only God would not have understood. And David said, no, I cannot do it. Praise the name of the Lord. Until God made him king. When he became king, and Israel rose up to say, it's now Absalom we want, David simply took his things and did what? He left. He was not going to contend for authority. He was not going to fight for it. He was not going to scheme for it. Nothing. Now, even when the battle was over, the people of Israel had to decide and tell David, do what now? Return. Praise the name of the Lord. All of us have a choice to make in this respect of bringing back David. Amen. Of bringing back David. And so, brethren, here we are at a time like this. We have major choices to make.
Yes.
Laban came to a point and Jacob, he said, I have searched the house. I have found what now? Nothing. That matter was ended. That matter was resolved. And brethren, when your house is searched, what will be found? Oh, it cost Rachel dearly. It cost her life. Praise the name of the Lord. It cost her life. And brethren, we do not yet understand the implications of some of the things that we tolerate and we accommodate in our lives. But I have a warning from the Lord to His people tonight. There will be a price to pay if certain things are found in your house at this night. Now, I will tell you why. You see, when David left Jerusalem, there was going to be a battle. Praise the name of the Lord. There was going to be a battle. You know, Absalom summoned his troops and his men, and he said, Ahithophel, tell me, what do we do? How do we proceed? Ahithophel gave counsel number one. He said, David, you know, when David left, he left 10 women to look after the house. 10 of them, concubines. And Ahithophel said, first thing you need to do is go and you need to embarrass your father in a way that both of you will never be reconciled again. Are we together? David, yes. Absalom gave counsel. Now what Absalom did, Ahithophel gave counsel, what Absalom did will make it impossible for David and Absalom to be ever reconciled. It was an insult that could never be mended.
Yes.
Now I want to tell you something. The enemy is scheming to bring us into a position of enmity with God. How? He said that friendship with the world,
yes,
is enmity with God. Now, yes, we do not know how deep this world is designed by Hillel to run on a principle that will ultimately make every humanity an enemy of God. It's founded on rebellion. We can't touch any part of it. You touch it, you put yourself in a position where you and God will be what now? In enmity. And the reason was, Ahithophel said, once you do this, the hands of the men with you will be strong, because they know that there's no more possibility of reconciliation. I tell you, one of the most terrible men that will come out in this generation are going to come out from the church.
Yes.
These are men who have walked with God. These are men who have known God. You'll be so shocked. They will turn out to be your worst enemies. The problems you are going to have will come from men. I'm not talking about Orthodox, I'm talking about Pentecostals.
Right.
They will hate you and they will torment you much more than the world. So Ahithophel, now after that, gave the second counsel. He said, I want to ask you, give me permission tonight. Brethren, what the enemy does will always be by divine permission. He cannot go beyond certain boundaries appointed unto him. He said, give me permission tonight. Let me go after them. Now, the counsel of Ahithophel is the same counsel the enemy is doing. And that's why he's walking. Why would it be that the night Jesus needed his disciples to stand with him, they were all drunk with sleep? He just turns his back and they all go to sleep. There's a power that was upon them that night.
Yeah.
Now, Ahithophel said, let me follow David tonight while he is weary, when he is discouraged, when he is, you understand, you know, downcast, his hands are weak.
Yeah.
No, they've really traveled a long distance. They had crossed the brook of Kidron. That was good. But they camped by Jordan. They had not crossed the Jordan. And Ahithophel gave that counsel. He said, this night, let me follow them. When? This night. The hour and the hour of darkness. Let me go after them. The prince that shall come. And I will come upon him with this. Brethren, you see, the church presently is in, you know, not a very strong position. By schisms rent asunder. By heresies distressed. Do you understand that? You know, all kinds of challenges upon the church. You know, when men are still in this very natural carnal, earthly, when we are still occupied with the cares of this life, when our focus has not been set, when we are not ready for trouble. The enemy wants to come upon you tonight. This night. He said, let me come upon them this night. I know what I'm going to do. I will smite the king only. The Lord, the enemy wants to take away something within our hearts. Our affection for the king. Do you understand that? The rule of the Christ. He will deal with, that's what he wants. And then he said, I will bring back the people to you. You see, brethren, many are going to return to Absalom. Praise the name of the Lord. Many are going to turn to rebellion, to perdition. He said, but we are not of them that draw back. Praise the name of, he said, I will bring the people back. I will smite the king only. They will continue following, you know, as church will continue. But brethren, their heart has been taken away from the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, but God set a mechanism. It's only buying us time. There was a man named Hushai. God left Hushai right in the camp of who now? Absalom. He said, so that you may for me frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel.
Amen.
And funny enough, you know, it's very funny because usually when Ahithophel speaks, it's like God has spoken. The man had such wisdom, such authority, that once Ahithophel gives counsel, that's the end of the matter. But something happened. For once, Absalom said, let us hear what Hushai has to say. Praise the name of the Lord. And brethren, it was God's arrangement. So Hushai spoke. He said that the counsel Ahithophel has given is not good this time. And he gave his reasons. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, let's wait, not tonight. If you try them tonight, they will be so, you know, desperate. Like a lion, you know, with the back against the wall. And you see, if they smite and one or two of your men fall, fear will take up everybody. And suddenly, the whole thing turned. And everybody says that the counsel of Hushai is better than that of Ahithophel. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, God was buying time. You know, then Hushai sent word to David. He said, I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know you have issues. Because that night, I'm sure everybody was just lying down. They were tired. They were discouraged. They were confused. They didn't know. He said, you need to do something now. Cross over the Jordan. Brethren, this Jordan is the barrier between the earth and the heavens, between the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual. It's a death to self. It represents the veil. Do you understand me, brethren? You need to cross through. Don't stay on this side. Cross over. Friend, this night is the night of Passover. Hallelujah. Tonight, men must cross from death unto life. Praise the name of the Lord. We must cross the Jordan. There's a dying that the church, the people of God, must enter into. So David had to, that night, he sent Joab, wake everybody up. It was not an easy thing because men were weary. They had walked a long time. They were tired. He said, there's no room for tiredness tonight. Every man must cross the Jordan. And brethren, he shook everybody up, kicked some. You know, brethren, sometimes the word of God comes to kick us. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need a kick.
Amen.
Get up tonight. Shake yourself. Wake up. We need to cross over. He said, oh, you must move tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says that before morning, not one man was left on the side of the Jordan. And you know what, brethren? The moment Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he knew that the game was over.
Yes.
Nobody in Israel knew, but Ahithophel knew.
Right.
He knew that the game... You see, brethren, the devil knows that as long as we're in this realm, he can touch us.
Yeah.
But when the dragon saw that the man child had moved to the other realm, he went after the woman.
That's right.
Do you understand me? Because the dragon had gone out of his reach. The Jordan is the separation, the barrier between the carnal and the spiritual. There is a life that God is calling us to live. There is a realm that God wants us to dwell. He said that he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. there is a place where the church can move out. We are still walking in this realm, but the dragon cannot touch us. Praise the name of the Lord. You read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do you see the same thing there? This prince that shall come, this prince of this world, he said that this mystery is working. The counsel of Ahithophel is actually the mystery of iniquity.
Yes.
He wants to overtake you while you are still in your carnal realm. There are things that are coming that God is actually restraining because you and me are not yet ready. And we don't know how long we have. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Are we understanding this, brethren? It's very important. That's a summary of my message tonight. Hallelujah. The church needs to make a move.
Amen.
We need to shake ourselves. We need to rouse ourselves. We need to get out. There are attachments. The love, the cares of this life.
Yes.
I'm going to read something maybe from 1 John. The lust of the eyes.
Yes.
The lust of the eyes. You know, this world is founded on the principle of the lust of the eyes. You pass, there's a new car. Oh, I must have that. A new house, I must have that. A new dress. Once you see it, something within you begins to react to it. The lust of the flesh. You know, the appetites. Men are dominated and controlled by the senses. You know, they are sensual, they are carnal, they are, you know, lovers of pleasure. And then the pride of life. The confidence that we have in the money in our bank account. The confidence you have in your qualifications. You know, we have a lot of confidence in the things that we can do with what now? Our hands. What we have. We are confident for tomorrow. A lot of people are confident because they have saved some money for the rainy day. I want to tell you that you cannot invest in an economy that is about to collapse.
Yes.
The Lord told me, you see, our currency for the new dispensation is faith. Faith. That's what's going to put food on your table. Do you understand that? What are you talking about? The bank system is going to crash. Now, if they implement the chip, as Brother Mark was talking, do you understand? In fact, in Nigeria, there are papers flying all over the place. Said America is implementing it 2013 or 14. Do you understand that? You know, all kinds of stories. We don't know what is true and what is not true. But one thing is certain is that if we begin to walk in the way God has called us, the world will not accommodate us much longer. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you believe that? If you're comfortable now, tomorrow you will not be, your neighbor will not be comfortable with you because your life is going to be very strange. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, there's a people, their laws are diverse. Do you understand me? From your laws. They don't keep your customs. It is not in the king's interest to harbor them. So a plot goes out to terminate them. And brethren, there will be plots and plots and plots and plots and plots against the people of God. But our God is mighty. The people that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. So your confidence should not be in anything material because it could change tomorrow. You could have a great job tomorrow, today. Tomorrow you lose that job. Do you understand that? You could have great savings in the bank. Tomorrow you lose it all. There is nothing in this realm that is permanent. And God says, I will shake all things.
Yes.
Brethren, the just shall live by faith. And we have to begin to learn to live by faith when? Now. It is not a theory. It is practical. It is reality. That faith will put food on your table. That faith will make a way for you where there seems to be no way.
Amen.
That faith is what will tell you to go to the brook of Kerit. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. That faith is what will... They looked for Elijah to kill him. They couldn't find him. Because he was walking by the Spirit. They were never able to spot him. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a life that we must be ready to live. Because the hour to live that life has come.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, the hour has come for me to go. I must return to the Father. Brethren, you must return to the Father. I must return to the Father. But there was a problem. He told the disciples, he said, where I go, you cannot go now. Why? But later you will go. But you see, what was the point? The point was that the disciples didn't, just like most of us today, had not appreciated what was coming. Peter felt it was something he could. Do you understand? He didn't know what was coming that night. So he was very confident, he was very strong. But Jesus knew they were not yet ready to lay down their lives. They were not ready. None of them was ready. Peter said, I will die with you. I will die for you this night. He said, would you? Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, you see, if we come to that point, are we ready to go to the Father? He said, where I'm going, you cannot go. Because to go that way, must go the way of the cross. The only way to go to the Father is what? To die. Hallelujah. To die. He said, you are not ready to go yet. Peter said, I'm ready. He said, no, you are not. And brethren, when the matter came down, all of them fled. Praise the name of the Lord. But whatever the case may be, it is time to return to the Father. Now, I'll tell you what he did. When he said that, the first thing he did was he took a towel and he gathered himself. Hallelujah. You know, he said that he had loved his own. One of the principal requirements of this hour is love. Amen. He said he had loved his own. He loved them to the end. He loved them utterly. And he gathered himself, he humbled himself, and he began to wash their feet. Because it was time. And he said, what I have done for you, you must do for your brethren. Brethren, one of the things that will keep the church at this time is going to be love. Amen. You see, many of the people of God, earlier I said that we have no right to be offended. And the reason is because we are under inspection. The lamb was inspected for 4 days for spot and blemish. Amen. And wrinkle. If there is a wrinkle, the lamb was disqualified. He will not be sacrificed as the Passover lamb. But then your Passover and my Passover is here. And we are to keep the Passover, praising it without leaven. With the unleavened bread of sincerity and what now? Truth. Without malice. The heart of God, people, is going to be tempted. Now, when Joseph was sold by his brethren into slavery, praise the name of the Lord, they sold him, they hurt him, they wounded him. They really dealt with him in a very terrible way. Now, eventually, Joseph ends up as a Pharaoh in Egypt. And here comes his brethren. He's looking at them. He recognizes them. They don't recognize him. He speaks to them through an interpreter. You know, the Lord speaks to us through interpreters, right? Through the ministries. And because of that, we do not know that it is him. But one thing he did was he tested them. They came and they said, we are the sons of one Father. That's with their mouth. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one body. Joseph said, Hallelujah. And they said, we are 12 sons of one Father. And one, the youngest, is with the Father. The other one is no more. Now, these men dealt, they had terrible hearts. Particularly Simeon and Levi. Yes. They were the worst of the lot. They were very terrible men. They had terrible hearts. And so, when he didn't see Benjamin, Joseph's heart skipped. Perhaps they've done to Benjamin what they did to me. Praise the name of the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to talk to you. In fact, he put them in prison for 3 days. He said, to prove that you're not spies, go and bring your youngest here. Praise the name of the Lord. So when they went back and they told Jacob, look at what the man said. Jacob said, how did he know? You had a youngest son. They said, the man asked us. He even asked us about our father. He said, I'm not releasing Benjamin to you. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, it took the intervention of Judah. Amen. To release Benjamin. You know, Judah got the throne not because of one mighty demonstration.
Yes.
It was the love. He was able to lay down his life. That's what gave him the throne. The scepter was given to Judah because Judah laid down his life. Now, the test was not over. Now, they were brought before Joseph. Now, when Joseph saw Benjamin, hallelujah, his BP came down. His blood pressure came down. At least Benjamin was still alive. But he had to test them again to know whether they were the same kind of people that sold him into slavery. Friend, I want to tell you, as we are, every aspect of our lives, we are under test. When somebody offends you, you may be so focused on the offense. You know, he called me an idiot, stepped on my feet. You're counting all that. You do not know that you are being tested whether you'll be able to sit upon the throne. Your life is not your own. You better be conscious of that. If we were conscious of that, many of the issues in church will not arise. Now, the next test, he wanted to know their hearts. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, when he loaded their carts, he put his cup in Benjamin's bag. It was another test. They never knew they were being tested. They never knew what was going on. They never knew Joseph was watching them. As I'm talking to you, brethren, the Lord is watching us here.
Yes.
We need to be conscious of that. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, when they left, Pharaoh's men went after them, and they opened the sacks, and lo, it was in Benjamin's bag. You know, naturally, the old sons of Jacob would have said, let him suffer for his foolishness and stupidity. That would have been the natural reaction. I mean, he was a son of Rachel. Praise the name of the Lord. But when they came back, they were all crying. Praise the name of the Lord. Something had happened to them. They had become one. Praise the name of the Lord. Those people had become one. At a point, Judah said, my father will die if anything happens to Benjamin. You see, brethren, when we deal with one another, remember the father. Hallelujah. When you are dealing with your brother and with your sister, be conscious of how the father will feel.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Always be conscious of the father's feelings concerning one another. He said, if this boy does not return, my father will die. They never cared before, but something had happened to them. When Joseph looked, he saw indeed that these men were sons now of one father. Praise the name of the Lord. It was on the basis of that understanding that Joseph sent out the Egyptians, and he revealed himself to his brethren. He said, I am Joseph. Brethren, there would never be a revelation of Christ until he is assured that our hearts are knit together as what now? As one. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. Praise the name of the Lord. All are one in Christ Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I am Joseph. Christ will be revealed to his brethren. But when their heart has been tested and what now? And proved. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage us tonight, brethren. Hallelujah. I want to encourage us tonight. There's so much to say, but I would like to begin to round up. Praise the name of the Lord. That the Bible says that we know that we have passed over from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, as we begin to transit from this natural environment into the realms of the spirit, our hearts towards the brethren will begin to change. Praise the name of the Lord. A love, a fervent love, will begin to burn in our heart one for another. That is the indicator that you are transiting, you are crossing the threshold from the carnal realm into the realms of the spirit. Because he said, if any man says he loves God and he hates his brother, that man is still in darkness. The darkness has covered his heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Love is an indicator. It's one firm indicator that you are transiting. You're moving. As the more you move from death to life, the love you have for the brethren becomes much more, you know, fervent. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, we know that we are crossing from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So brethren, God is making a firm call to us at this hour. Praise the name of the Lord. There are things within our hearts that the enemy will come to inspect. Satan has made a request, tabled it before the Lord. I want to search Brother Jim, Brother Denver. Praise the name of the Lord, Brother Gary. He said, he has requested to search you. And the Lord says, he will search you, but I have prayed for you.
Yeah.
So that you will stand.
Praise God.
And when you are converted, remember your brethren. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Brethren, darkness is covering the earth.
Yes.
And gross darkness, the people. Praise the name of the Lord. Whenever you read that word, the people, it's talking about the people of God. The people of Israel. Why would it be gross darkness? Because they once had light. The Bible says, if the light in you become darkness, how great is that darkness? The greatest darkness will be in a people who once knew the Lord, but have now departed from the Lord. And they have gone the way of Cain and the way of Balaam. Praise the name of the Lord. May the Lord help us. Because the counsel of Balaam is operating right now in the church.
Yes.
Balaam brought the people of God into a very dangerous situation. You know, there's this spirit, this God, is called Baal Peor. Baal Peor. Yeah, however you call it. Peor, yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, he's the Lord of the breach, the Lord of the opening. Okay? Now, the ministry of Baal Peor is to create an opening in the lives of the people of God, through which spirits, do you understand? Unclean spirits. You know, he said that Babylon the Great is falling and has become the habitation and the dwelling of every unclean bird. How did they get in? It was this ministry. Now, Balaam taught Balak how to cast a stumbling block. It was a doctrine. You know, he said that I have this against you. You follow the doctrine of Balaam. He taught the children of Israel to commit what now? Fornication. Both physical fornication and spiritual fornication. Why? Because if fornication is one of the most deadly ways to contact unclean spirits. Now, if you've ever ministered to people, spirits that come into a person through sexual immorality are one of the strongest, you know, and, you know, the most difficult spirits to deal with. Praise the name of the Lord, because they open a door. Baal Peor opens a door through which spirits keep coming in. Now, when the people of God say, he teaches them to eat things sacrificed unto what now? Idols. Now, everything in this world is dedicated to idols. The things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of what now? Life, are things committed to unclean spirits. When our hearts are attached to them, they become an opening through which these spirits begin to dominate us and influence our lives. So God's people, this period are going to be behaving strangely because of the, you understand, workings of all kinds of spirits. And so God is saying, we must watch and what now? Pray. Because this is the hour of darkness. So brethren, I just want to stop here. I want to encourage us at this time. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to encourage us. It is time for the church to rise up.
Amen.
You need to look at your life and define your life. Define what you want in life. Define your purpose in life. Define your focus. and take stock. You know, if there's one thing that you need to take stock, it is the things you put before your eyes. The eye, you know, spirits can enter you through what you see.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Oh yes, 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 yes. The eye is one of the gateways into the soul. And that's why entertainment is a major issue. Spirits enter through what you hear. You listen to certain rock music, evil spirits begin to enter your body. And brethren, we need to be conscious of these things and begin to watch, guard our hearts with all diligence. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I just pray that God will encourage you to take a stand. You don't have tomorrow. You do not have tomorrow. You only have today. God gives you today. That's what you have. So you need to define and decide for yourself, what am I going to do? Am I going to end up having regrets? I had the capacity to bring an offering to the Lord, and I refuse to bring the offering. I had the ability to offer and give all. Like that woman, she gave all. Somebody was counting how much money the thing was worth. The woman was saying, "You don't know what this man has done for me. Hallelujah. You don't know where this man brought me from. You don't know who I was until this man gave value to my life. How much is this compared to what he has done for me?"
Amen.
Only those who appreciate what the Lord, where the Lord has brought them from, will be able to bring forth that sacrifice without counting the cost. I pray that you and I will be one of those people. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you.